Hello friends, I'm your host Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast.
Paul, how you doing, mate?
Hi, Chris. Nice to see you again, mate.
Yes, I should say shit, mate, shouldn't I? There you go.
Shit, mate.
I missed the chance for a bit of military banter. So, Paul, you came on the podcast before to talk about your incredible book, Return to Bomb Alley. Feel free to give it a flash up. But we're not here to talk about that today, although we will, friends, put a link for Paul's book below and a link for the podcast we did. We're here because I saw you putting some stuff on Twitter, and I recognize the name Emily Osler because I can see that she upset a lot of people with that article she wrote. I can't remember the publication now, but she wrote a big long article suggesting that all the the people that went along with the, let's not say the buzzwords, mate, but went along with the last 3 years of medical shenanigans.
Okay.
All be given an amnesty. And
that's right. It was in The Atlantic, a publication called The Atlantic.
Okay.
Let me just find it. The title of the article was Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. And this came out in October last year. And like you say, it caused a bit of a stink.
I think she also was a bit controversial and upset a few people because didn't her perspective on the whole thing change? She was quite Teutonian, is that the right word? When it's right, it's got to be like this, face masks, and then she kind of like had to change her tone because people just weren't buying it anymore, were they?
That's right, she did. She sort of set out from the start. Her family and her husband and her kids were going out in the forest and everything. They were all wearing masks, and they had sort of code words for if somebody came close, then they'd say the code word, and then the kids would all put the masks on. You know, so that they really fell for it big time right at the start. But she did change, and she actually put out in public that she disagreed with school closures, you know. And I can agree with that, you know. It was a bad idea right from the start. But she really let herself down with this October 2022 article. I mean, I could go into some of her background, if you like, just to set this up.
I do my best not to attack other people.
Yeah,
because we're going to come on and talk about this. About you also put I saw you put a post in a veterans group the other day because I saw that you put a tweet out about it. And it's that thing, isn't it, that when we project onto others, we're basically saying that we're damaged individuals that haven't got over our childhood trauma. So friends at home, we're not having a go at anyone here. It's just the topic for a podcast. This article did upset people. The question there is, should there be an amnesty for all the people that went along with the last 3 years of what was essentially authoritarianism, totalitarianism, and also fascism, because it brought in businesses as like state agencies. Suddenly the BBC, right, who's a company, started telling people like what they had to do. Right, you've got to get down to your healthcare, and you've got to do this 3 times. Then you've got to have like 6 of the, and it's like, hang on, You're just a TV channel. And then, of course, the public apparatus, as in the National Health Service, they went along with what the corporate pharmaceutical companies told them. Absolutely mind-boggling, Paul, the naivety and let's just say it, the incredible stupidity of the average person. But literally still hasn't worked out that what you see on the TV isn't real. The news is not real. But
and there's some very clever people falling for this. Emily Oster is one of them.
Well, doesn't it show you that intelligence at you can't learn it in university, can you?
Exactly.
You can get a massive dose of the old brainwashing. Now, what I wanted to say is there's a fascinating philosophical debate here, isn't there, that for a start, if you're going to have an amnesty, like, where's the cutoff? Because does that mean that all the teachers at the kids' schools have to go to Nuremberg? Because let's be honest, they all went, they're still putting the hand gel on the kids, right? Yeah. Just the mind boggles. Putting alcohol plus all the other toxic chemicals that are in those gels onto the infant hands. It's going straight through the children's skin into their bloodstream.
Yeah.
And these people are supposed to be educators, Paul.
That's right.
This is the level of the indoctrination and the brainwashing that this thing has had. So do we drag all them to Nuremberg? Or is it for just like the Faucis and the big pharma criminals? That would be one sort of thing. And the other thing is, you know, I think people are angry because they fell for it and they went along with it. Mm-hmm. I'm not angry with anyone. You know, I didn't do the lockdown thing. I went out when I wanted, met whom I wanted.
I was the same.
You know, I don't wear a certain thing on my face because the research I done tells you don't get sick from other people. It's far more likely to be diet related or an agent in the environment. And I love all people, so I don't feel bitter. Because if I did, it would be a projection of where I am in life. And before people go, oh, what, you're just going to let them all get off? It's not about that. It's that I don't give them agency, Paul. Everyone at the moment is giving these. Don't talk about Fauci. He's just a criminal for the New World Order. If you don't believe it, he's the same person that pushed a certain hoax that started late 70s, 80s. Anyone my age, the icebergs, another massive fraud perpetrated on the people. You know, you create your own reality, Paul.
Yeah.
So I never went along with any of this. I was born perfect. So there's no way I'm going to desecrate my beautiful, perfect body with something that a trillionaire pharmaceutical, you know, these people are motivated by greed and evil.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got more money than you can spend in 1,000 lifetimes, but they want more. Why would I go along with it? It's the mind boggles.
Emily Oster, I've done a bit of research on her, and looking back, I'm not surprised to see her come up with this article, this Let's Declare a Pandemic Amnesty. So she's an economist by trade. She's a professor. Her father was an economist. Her mother was an economist. Her husband is an economist. She's got two kids, and I reckon it's a pretty safe bet that they will grow up and become economists, because they're in this sort of Ivy League bubble. You know, it's a very wealthy living that they've got, all of them. She's also, I found it really surprising, The Guardian described her as a parenting guru. Okay, it makes me laugh a bit. I come from, I'm from Merseyside, and If you sent her to try and sort some kids out in Liverpool, they'd run rings around her, you know. So all she is she's a kind of New York icon. And she's written three books on parenting. I think it's a bit of a hobby. Professionally, she's an economist, but she's does a bit of parenting literature on the side. She writes these books. And they're selling like 120,000 copies, you know, some of these books. But that's thanks to Rupert Murdoch, largely, because she gets all their stuff printed in the Wall Street Journal, which is one of his. It's not just The Sun, you know, he's got newspapers all over the world. He's got the Wall Street Journal. So when an article like this appears in the Wall Street Journal, the wine bars in New York, you know, they're all celebrating because they see it's working. You know, they're getting their information out there. And if you give you a full title, it's Goldman Sachs University Professor of Economics and International and Public Affairs at Brown University. Okay, that's a full title. So what worries me about that is the first two words. Okay, I take it it's got to be declared. Goldman Sachs. Okay, so that's where the funding is coming from for Emily to do her stuff at the university, her economic stuff. I've got no doubt that she's a very professional economist and she's very capable. No doubt about that whatsoever.
Well, she's not that capable, mate. She's not that capable if she still hasn't worked out where illness comes from.
Well, yeah.
And then perpetrating that myth on her children. So they grow up brainwashed zombies that, you know, think they can put anything in their body and there won't be any, you know, comeback for it.
She's completely out of touch.
And she's funded by the big club, isn't she?
She is. You know? I mean, look, if you look at racing drivers, somebody made the comment once that if you look at racing drivers, they've got the sponsors printed all over them. You know, why doesn't Emily Oster wear a mortarboard with Goldman Sachs emblazoned on it? You know, because we'd know then that where she's coming from, wouldn't we? You know, so, I mean, and this article you were saying before, Chris, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. If you read through the article, it's really vague. It's like an exercise in generalization. You know, she doesn't name anybody. I mean, I haven't got the article in front of me, but she keeps saying some people who were right said this. Others who were wrong said this. The people who were putting up a fight said this. And there's nobody mentioned whatsoever. So she doesn't even say who she wants to give an amnesty to. You know, so whether it's teachers down at the bottom or whether it's Fauci up at the top, she doesn't actually state who gets an amnesty.
Do you think, Paul, failing? Do you think, though, I mean, to anyone with half an iota of intellect, this is clearly a damage control exercise, but she's written the piece. Her paymasters are going to publish it, you know, through one of their proxy rags. You and I know most of our viewers watching now are wise to all this. They're wise to the shenanigans and the fact the club owns all the media, all of Hollywood, all the music industry, da-da-da-da-da-da. The general public, that my mate refers to as the great unwashed, which always makes me smile.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
There's another one, isn't it? The useless eaters.
Well, yeah, that one's a bit... I like the great unwashed.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the masses, this does work as like the gluing agent that kind of smooths over the fact all you got to do is put a picture of a pig riding on a donkey or a bear that farts, you know, chuck that on your news channel and the great public completely forget they've been locked in their houses for 2.5 years. They've had one of the most heinous crimes, I'm not going to say what, but, you know, folks can work it out, perpetrated upon their beautiful selves. But like I say, chuck in a farting bear and it's all forgotten about.
Yeah, you're right. And do you know what she did? What she was very careful to do inside her article was to describe what you've just described as mistakes, you know. They weren't mistakes. It was quite deliberate. It felt very deliberate to me. There were no mistakes whatsoever.
Yeah, it was a orchestrated plan.
Mm-hmm.
No, by people that let's just say don't think very much of people like you and me, Paul. To a degree it worked, and to a degree it backfired, but. Here's the thing about the big club. They ain't caring that it's backfired a bit. They're so many steps ahead of that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll sacrifice the likes of Pfizer and they'll just be like, you know, sorry, folks, we're going to write, you know, you're the patsy in this. The public want blood. We'll write you off. And then bada bada boom, they'll come back in 2 years, 3 years, there'll be something else. The public will just see it on their media, they'll buy into it. The medical agenda, I'm careful not to say the words here, folks, just to err on the side of caution, but it's not stopping. Bill Gates hasn't shut his mouth. This weird gooky computer nerd who stole a computer program and stole and sold it, apparently, talking about Windows folks.
Yeah.
Who for some reason has self-appointed himself as the world health guru, despite the damages that we've seen being done in Africa and can I say the gay community folks and the drug using community.
It's his money. It's his money he's using to buy that power. He did that at the World Health Organization, which is such a threat to everybody now because its budget is about to exceed the US Defense Department, and that's something like $9 billion every year, you know. So it's the WHO is going to get bigger than that very soon.
They're funding it all, mate, aren't they? You got the likes of Soros, he's funding like Ukraine, Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
You got yeah. Ihor Kolomoisky that brought Zelensky to power. I mean, it's folks, I'm lost for words. It's and the only reason they succeed is people give them their power.
That's right.
They go along with it, right? Yeah. They go along with it.
The fear works. People feel it in their gut. And as soon as they think, oh dear, I could lose my job if I say that, that's it. They've got them, you know. Not me, I mean, but most of us are cowed by that, aren't we? You know, we don't want to lose our jobs.
Mate, I've been watching. I like a bit of the old Formula One.
Yeah.
Was my dad used to refer to it like a bunch of rich people burning off the planet's oil needlessly. And do you know what? I wouldn't disagree with him. But anyway.
My dad used to call it stinking round and round. That was it. Round and round.
Apparently it stinks of vegetable oil if you go to the actual track, which I've never done.
Yes.
Because apparently the oil that they use for the engines is... It smells like vegetable oil, or it is vegetable oil or something. It's really kind of fine. But what was I going to say? I found it's called Drive to Survive, and it's on Netflix at the moment. And there's five series, you know, of the last 5 years of motor racing. It's very fascinating to see the inside take on these essentially young lads who are multi-millionaires and that can drive a car faster than anyone else on the planet. But the last couple of seasons, they all been wearing the thing, haven't they?
Yeah.
All of them. Not one person saying, look, screw that. I ain't putting this nonsense on the children. It stops here. Sorry, folks. McLaren or Ferrari or Renault, go find yourself.
They'll follow the crowd, though, Chris. If the public turns all this around and wins in the end, they'll be trying to catch up very quickly, you know.
It's a difficult one because I know there'll be people watching now saying, well, I had to wear it for work. My answer is like, well, you didn't. Come on, let's be honest. You didn't have to.
But very slowly, Chris, I'm very positive about this because I can see that the tables are turning as we speak now. Very, very, very slowly, but they are. And we're going to get there in the end. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely positive of that.
Yeah, just going to keep awakening people to the fear-based narrative, Paul. You know, it's the lowest form of vibration and it's how they win.
You know what I do? I take the mickey out of them in a nice way. And it works. With this Emily Oster thing, I was going to say before, it ended up on Substack. She was interviewed by somebody called Hamish McKenzie, who's a journalist, and he invited her onto Substack, onto his channel, which I can't remember what it's called. But, where are we? No, I can't remember. But I put a comment up after reading the article, and I said, I read Emily Oster's article in The Atlantic, and it was boring, it was tedious. In fact, an anagram of Emily Oster is tiresomely. So I do stuff like that. I find anagrams and I mess with the letters and I, you know, I get at them in that way. And do you know what they did? They deleted that comment. And look, that's the first time I've ever seen Substack delete a comment. Okay. But Hamish McKenzie is one of the big guys. There were three people who started Substack. He is one of them. So this fella, he was a journalist, but he's created Substack and it's gone massive, as you know. Everyone's on it. He's going to be in a different league now, somebody like that, because he's made a lot of money from that. I haven't even looked how much. But now he's being forced down that road that they all go down. GB News is another one that's in a similar position. I'm waiting for them to flick a switch and go mainstream at any point, you know. But Substack has been fantastic. I've got a channel on there as well. You know, it's really big. And I think it's been great, but I've never seen anything. What they've done now, I tried to go onto this article the other day, and they've made it so you can't view the comments anymore. And they've done that because most of the comments that came in were reacting, you know, they were critical thinkers, and they were putting it back and saying, no, she was wrong, you know, and explaining it very well. They've now made that inaccessible, so we can't even see. So this is what Substack are doing now. You know, I hope somebody else gets onto this.
Substack is like is it like a sort of blog platform, and people can sign up and follow you if they like you, basically?
That's right, yeah. It's very good, and you can do all these statistics and everything. You can see how many people are following your channel and all this sort of stuff, yeah. You can do videos and everything, yeah.
Now, these comments being deleted or hidden, or the comments section being hidden, is that the Substack author, so the channel owner, doing that, or is it the company?
I really don't know. Somebody called Hannah came up and told me that she deleted my comments.
Oh, she was a moderator for Substack.
She must be the moderator for Substack, yeah. He's somewhere in the background, but I think his influence is saying, right, let's make those comments inaccessible now, because you can't see them now. It was a really bad reaction to this article, you know. And if you go and look at it, you'll see that you can't see the comments anymore. There were no positive ones. Nobody agreed with Emily Oster.
Yeah, but wasn't it like it was the same on YouTube, when you had companies like the BBC that were putting their propaganda out, and there was just thousands of comments not putting up with it. So they just started to delete their comment section, you know, to make it no comments on this video.
Yes.
And you're saying you think Substack's going the same way?
It looks like it, yeah. It's very sad, but that's the direction of travel, Chris, definitely, yeah.
Wow, that the thing about the internet, it was supposed to free us all, wasn't it? And very... You know, as we've seen, it's been infiltrated at all points of entry by the big club who've bought the big, you know.
Back in the early 90s, yeah. I was, oh, this is amazing. You know, I'd come out, I could type and everything. I'd always had a keyboard under my nose. I did in the Navy. I was a radio operator, but I left in 83, and then computers took off, and so back on the keyboard and the internet in the early 90s, when we got the web and everything, we connect ourselves. I was so positive about where we could end up. We could end up with global communities linking to each other and swapping ideas. But it's all been sabotaged, really, by the people who created the internet, you know, the military.
I'd go one step further.
Yeah.
We've all sabotaged it, Paul. And the reason is the way they control the internet is the same way they control everything. And this is going to bring us on to your next, or the next subject, which is your veterans page, where you said, fellas, until you start realizing we're God, we're the universe experiencing itself subjectively, you're going to keep putting these little hate-filled comments, and none of us are going to get anywhere, right? The same with this is the thing, Paul, about the internet, is that the club understand the spiritual battle. They get it. All they've got to do is keep people afraid and in their ego, and they win every single time. Why did Samson fight the lion? Okay. because lion in scriptural terms is esoterics, it's allegory for ego, right? If you listen Gospel of Thomas, right, it's fascinating stuff. Boy, I love this stuff now, you know. I used to think like the Bible was about religion, like if you read the Bible, you had to go and get brainwashed by a church, and you had to believe, yeah, like women could walk on water and men could get pregnant and all this, like just mental stuff, you know. What I've come to realize is that no, it's not. It's nothing to do. The churches is like the last thing that Jesus wanted people to build, you know. Because anything you put between you and the Spirit, what he called his Father, what people call God, like anything, whether you tarot cards, crystal ball, church, it's a blocker. It's literally like you're trying to make that connection and you're putting a blocker in front of you, you know? It's crazy. It's like trying to connect with spirit and getting pissed out your head. It's just, it's not going to work. Gospel of Thomas, fascinating. Didymus Judas Thomas was his name. Some people think it's Didymus because it means twin, that he might have been the twin brother of Jesus. But allegedly in one his gospel, which was one of the sort of like Gnostic gospels that was found in a cave, wasn't in the, you know, in the as they call it, the canonical Bible or whatever. Anyway, in one of those quotes, which is said to be the official word of Jesus or Yeshua, I'm not quite sure about that, but man must get on top of the lion lest lion becomes the man. If you feed your ego controls you. Ego is lion, right? Yeah. If you get on top of your ego, you control it. The man controls the, you know, rather than ego control. Yeah. And this is it. This is the internet, isn't it? It's playing to fear. It's playing to people's short-term attention spans. It's playing to people's craving for dopamine, you know, without having to actually go and do any, you know, you don't have to go and fight bears now or like actually, you know, build yourself a fence or anything in this life. Now you just put on YouTube and you look for monkey rides a pig or, you know, what are these hero veterans doing this week? Or so long as we buy into this, Paul, this is the problem, isn't it? This literally is the problem. Man has substituted God with the internet.
It's certainly changed our lives out of all recognition, hasn't it? If you go back to the 80s, what a different world it was then. I mean, we used to complain, didn't we? But looking back, I get very nostalgic. You know?
It was different, but they still were prepping us, weren't they? If you look at, like, remember the bands that were really famous? They were all, like, I know they weren't, right? But we thought it was all satanic, didn't we? You know, Black Sabbath and all these, you know, Ozzy Osbourne's just bitten the head off a bat. Every school kid knew that how evil Ozzy Osbourne was, right? Yes, friends, we know that he's not, but I'm just saying. But you can see that the, you know, Stephen King got his first advance, 300,000. That was, I believe, in the 70s. You know, these authors get these advances. If they, the other one was it Dean Koontz starts to write about pandemics, doesn't he? You know, contagion, all these kind of fear-based narratives and. And then we had the start of the horror genre and Hammer House of Horror. And no, it wasn't the start of it. Obviously, it goes back years and years. But yes, yeah, so
are you saying this is predictive programming?
Massively.
Yeah,
massively, Paul. Of course it is. You know, the Cold War. There was no Cold War. If there was a war, then it meant every Russian you met would be a dickhead, you know, that was a threat to you and your family.
I never felt there was a war on.
I've never managed to find that Russian today or a Ukrainian like that, or a, you know, I'm there's always the odd bad apple, but I'm talking generally speaking, it was the media again, wasn't it? Selling us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We used to believe that those big missiles that they drove, we thought they was actually nukes. Didn't occur to us they was just models. You know, where they're just so
they probably invented television so they could show pictures of their models all over the world.
Well, exactly. Whenever there's a new invention, it's co-opted, the right word, you know. It's, yeah, you're a glutton for punishment, mate, going on them veterans pages. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no, the reason I go on, and I'm very persistent, I've been going on those pages since about 2004, believe it or not. I remember doing it back then. I used to go on the ARRSE website, which is the Army. It's nothing to do with the Army. It's all, the Army would disassociate themselves from it at the drop of a hat, you know. Somebody set it up and it's got really popular. I don't know when it was set up, but it's way back. It's probably 20 years ago, something like that. I got in there quite early, and I'm going to give you an exclusive now. I didn't use my real name. My name on there was French Person, right? And I became infamous on there as French Person. I used to question, why did two buildings fall out of the sky in New York? You know, why did that happen back in the early part of this century?
I know,
but as time went on, the news came out that a third one, because it took so long for that, that third building, this is like 2004, you know, it's 3 years later that we eventually find out that a third building had fallen as well, you know. So I was going on and questioning this sort of stuff, and I was getting down the banks, you know, from everybody, almost to a man. They were slagging me off, you know. And I wasn't a masochist or anything. I was going on there, and I was finding that some people would agree with me. So I got a bit of chat going with them, you know, and it was really good. But I've since been banned from there, you know. I got banned a couple of years ago, so, and they won't let me back, you know, no chance. I'm saying all the wrong things, so I've got no chance. But since then, what you were referring to, I think, is navy.net. For people who don't know, I was in the Royal Navy for 7 years. I was down in the Falklands, and I thought, why not join that? And I had this book coming out, this one. So it was March last year, and I thought, I'll join that and see if I can give it a bit of a plug and see what happens. So what I did was I did about 10 bullet points of different questions about the Falklands War, and I gave the title of the book, you know, Return to Bomb Alley 1982, Falklands Deception, and then 10 bullet points asking questions that had never been asked, and what was going on here, what was going on there. And I listed them all on the Navy.net site. And then straight away, I had people attacking me. And they're very clever the way they've set this up, because they are all anonymous. Nobody uses the real name. I'm on there as Falklands Vet, but very early on, I put my name up there. I'm Paul Cardin. Here's my book, you know. And so I'm on there as somebody who is identified. And I'm saying to them, well, why don't you identify yourself, at least own your words type of thing? And it'll have a bit more value then, a bit more sort of credence if you own up to what you're saying and put your name by it. And they're coming back and saying, oh, can't do that, PERSEC. And I'm thinking, what's PERSEC? So I run off and I look it up. It's personal security. I think it's a military term. So personal security is a bit of a double-edged sword, because it works in one way whereby if you don't use your name, then somebody can't come round to your house and start throwing stones at your windows and, I don't know, kidnapping your children or whatever they think might happen, you know. They think, so they're thinking I'm a threat to them. I might come round and do something really bad to them. So they've got a bit of level of paranoia going on there, you know, they think I'm going to do something like that. I'm the last person to do something like that. But the other edge, the double-edged sword, the other edge of that is that it protects them in other ways. They can say what the hell they like on there, and they can back each other up. They can make jokes. They can post stupid little memes, and they can have a laugh and all this. And I am the brunt of all that. You know, I get the piss taken out of me. Your book's shit. Why haven't you sent us a copy? I'll say, well, I didn't send you a copy because you slagged it off without even reading it. Why did you do that? Why didn't you read it and then slag it off? So I'm not going to send you a copy of it. I'd be a fool, wouldn't I, have sent you a copy? But what I'm thinking now, and I've actually, this isn't an exclusive, Chris. I've got an audio book coming out of this book, and I've got the most wonderful narrator, and he's only just completed it, and I had listened to it the other day, and it's fantastic. His name is Joe Mills. So if you Google Joe, no, don't Google it. If you go onto a browser and look up Joe Mills, you'll see that he's done about 20 books, and he's a professional voice artist, and he is fantastic. That's an exclusive. What I'm going to do on this Navy.net site is offer them a free copy of the audiobook, and then they can look at it, sorry, listen to it, and then come back and give me their opinion of it. So that's what's going to be happening soon.
Good luck with that, mate. It is a bit of an eye-opener on those sites. Let's be honest, mate. You and I, we've come quite a long ways from our military days, haven't we? And that's fine. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Muhammad Ali once said, if you're the same person at 40 as you were at 20,
yeah,
you've wasted, yeah, it's 20 wasted years. I mean, you shouldn't be of the same mindset as when you joined up. But
I went along with it. I went along with the hell. I've got regrets about some of the things I did, and I know you have, Chris. But I went along with it. But at the nagging at the back of my mind, even when I was in the services, I always had this feeling: I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. Why did I do it? As I got older, you know, I was 16 when I joined, and then by the time I was 23 and I left, I'd changed. Muhammad Ali was right. I'd changed a hell of a lot.
Again, though, I think it was so pertinent what you said about the spiritual battle. You said, I mean, can you remind us what it was you said?
Well, it was something like, you are God. I am God. We all are. And we're experiencing this universe together. Something like that. And they came back with just the usual crap, you know, the usual memes and taking the mickey and funny little twists, you know. But I'll carry on.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was bang on. You just pointing out where the universe experiences itself subjectively, which means we're all God. Yeah. And so long as you just continue to be on a website so you can just be horrible to people, you're like completely missing the point of why we're here. You know, you're buying into identity politics that, oh, yeah, we're all individual and we're all so important. And this is a problem in the veterans community, because why have we got such a high level of veteran suicide? It's because this stuff doesn't get discussed.
Exactly. Another thing, Chris, is, and any veteran or any serving member of the forces going onto a site like that and sussing it out and trying to see what's going on, they're going to be deterred from saying anything because they're going to be fearful of getting getting the same sort of online bullying that goes on and browbeating. So they kept down by that, you know.
It's, yeah, I guess the issue is possibly a lot of these chaps, their military experience is probably like the most important thing they ever did.
Yeah.
And they're clinging to that identity, yeah, like the last rock before a waterfall, because, you know, yeah, in their minds, getting that like hat on their head.
Chris, a couple of them have said, you're a Walt. And for those who don't know what a Walt is, it's like a Walter Mitty character who's invented a fake army experience, you know. So they're saying I'm a Walton, I've invented all this. I didn't actually go to the Falklands. I've made it all up. I've dreamt it all up. So, and nobody, none of the moderators are saying, well, he is actually, if you go online and check, they're not doing that. They're not moderating at all, you know. So they're letting everyone get away with stuff like that. I'm not bothered by any of this, by the way. You know, it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah. Oh, mate, you're going to get, if you got any kind of profile on the internet, especially now you've written a book.
Chris, I'm going to link them to this video once it's out so they can go and have a look.
Well, it's I think you're too good. You know, it's a lot of negativity there, mate, isn't it? I don't like, I'll personally just stay away from that.
Yeah. I know what you're saying exactly, but for not, I don't think anyone is a lost cause. You know, I think people can have a magic moment where they suddenly realise what they've been doing is stupid as they get older. You know,
well, for anyone listening, you know, I can count my friends on one hand. I think I'm proud about that. I think it says a lot about your maturity when you realise who's actually really got your back. I could probably extend it to 10 fingers if I was honest, but on those fingers, there's definitely one, two, there's about five Marines that I joined up with. We're talking 35 years ago. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, they are just the epitome of why Royal Marines are massive legends. They are such lovely, and I include British veterans as massive legends, but I happen to know Marines, obviously, and they just have that kindness about them. And talk about awake. They know everything about the last 3 years, mate. They know about buildings falling, you know. Mm-hmm. They know they you could sit down and chat about the Falklands and they would just be all ears wanting to learn, not trying to shut you up because it didn't fit their, you know, their identity politics. And, you know, they can't go down the pub and give it the Billy Big one because you've fucked it up for them, Paul. So, and we should remember this, that there's a few people in there screw it up for all of us, don't they? The typical British veteran is a very kind and lovely person. Generally tend to be quite awake because they look back at the service and they learn from it and they continue that, what do they call it, lifelong learning, isn't it, where you're prepared to learn your whole life. And then naturally, when you become an old fart like us, you have a very different perspective on it all. How wrong is it to not want war for our kids, because you see through it and you see who makes all the money and the profit from it? You know, yeah. I mean, the Falklands, as much as it's one of the proudest things, some of my mates, what they did down there and what the Marines did and all the forces. But again, you know, I was in the Marines. Mate, it makes me feel emotional every time I think about it.
Yeah.
But do I think that it wouldn't have been better to have a peace deal on the table instead of all them boys losing their lives and a generation of British people traumatized by the images that we were subjected to on the telly that were brought into our living rooms? My best buddy used to have to watch the news to see if his dad had died that night, right? He used to broadcast the dead on after the BBC 6 o'clock news, and his dad led... he led Lima Company into battle, and my mate used to have to sit there, see if his dad's name come up on the screen. Then he'd go and cry to himself in a bath. He'd go and run a bath just to hide from everyone else so he could have a cry and no one would know. It's, you know, we need real warriors, Paul, don't we, that can talk about this stuff, you know, that are not bigging themselves up on what they did 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
We need real warriors up at the top as well, instead of these bloody psychopaths.
Well, yeah, this is why I fight the spiritual battle, mate, you know?
Yeah.
Because that is how we, this is how you achieve it. You know, you can only, life is what, frequency, energy, and vibration. You can only affect that through your mind. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. Revolution ain't going to do it, because if it did, why are we in this shit that we're in? You know, we've seen loads of revolutions over the centuries. If you go and try and take down Downing Street, what you're doing, you're replacing that lot of idiots with another angry lot of egomaniacs.
Exactly.
You know, you're just going to be back to, it's until people realize you've got to make a connection, like you said in your comment. You know, it's not until you ditch the ego, ditch the birth certificate identity, and realize, no, your universe experiences itself subjectively, that the light bulb goes off in your head and you're like, ah, right, yeah, we don't need war, do we? Because that's a bit silly now. It's like me making war on Paul, or Paul making war on me. It's just like, we would never do it, would we? You know, yeah. Because you're me and I'm you. We're just universe experience itself subjectively. So, friends, can I just say, I invited Paul on the show for a chat, and that's what we've been doing. That's why I've been speaking a lot, because I don't get the chance to have these chats with very many people away from the internet. All the people I know that are awake, Paul, are on the internet. I don't really know that many personally, to be honest, other than my Marine buddies I mentioned.
I think I told you in the last video, I go to a Stand in the Park group, so I'm lucky that I know 50 odd people who are wide awake, you know.
Sorry, I have to apologize to my local Stand in the Park. Yeah, they're a great bunch of people, and I haven't been for a while because I've been just trying to get the videos out on a Sunday morning. They are a great bunch of people, and those numbers need to rise in figures, don't they, to show solidarity.
Yeah, ours has been rising. We've got a lot of new people lately, so it's going really well. Yeah.
Paul, listen, it's been great chatting. Stay on the line so I can thank you properly. But for the purposes of the tape, much love to you and yours, mate, and keep fighting the good fight. Friends at home, links to Paul's book will be below. Grab yourself a copy. If you can, we'll put Paul's Twitter details and the like below as well, so you can give him a follow. If you can like and subscribe to my channel, that would be wonderful. Click the notification bell, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Cheers, Chris.
Welcome, mate.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe, and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.